Welcome back to Arts About.
Show about art that's generally a work of art in itself, Sally.
It is only generally, really, isn't it?
It's been going pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
It's about art.
It is about art.
That's what we reckon.
Yeah, the art we're interested in. Arts About is, of course, brought to you by the generosity of the McClelland Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. This weekend has been a weekend of films with the Peninsula Short Film Festival, and tonight, Sunday, is the culmination of it at the cinema in Rosebud. RPP covered the Saturday night's event with Jackie Mitchell and I doing a live broadcast, and we'll bring you some of that in next week's show once we've had a chance to digest it. John?
Yeah?
Have you got another scintillating John on for us this week?
I've been thinking about something, a sleeper. There is a great sleeper in Australian painting that's just sort of in a dark room in Canberra, wrapped up in bits.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Sounds fascinating. Okay, well, I shall be biting my nails until I hear what that might be. Now, the summer season has reached its more interesting phase lately, and the kids have gone back to school, the holiday makers have packed off, and the weather is due to warm up again after a fabulous smattering of rain that blurred the red tail lights as they headed back to the city. So too have the thespians left us. The Spiegel Tent's Limbo has closed its doors finally, as has Razzle Dazzle and Humanimals, Jason Coleman's extravaganza in that wonderfully temporary structure, that Cabaret Cathedral, that was on the foreshore in Rye. Jason is joining us on the line a little later in the show to tell us what the season's been like backstage, where he and his team have not stopped working for a second, to bring a little theatrical glamour to our summer holidays. And every year for the last 23 years, there's been an exhibition run by artists called Artists for Kids Culture, and it raises funds for disadvantaged children. Originally established by David Larwell, Joe Darvill and Bernie Jones, it was formed to financially assist economically and socially disadvantaged children to reach their potential by enabling an artistic, educational or recreational experience. And they did that by auctioning artworks donated by some of Melbourne's best-known artists. Friend of the show, gallery director Kylie Greer, is joining us in a minute, and she's going to tell us about that and the fundraiser that she's organising for it at her gallery called Brightspace. Sadly, Cliff can't join us this week, so we either offended him last week or he's got something more important to do, so it's only John and I to fill the void. And so while we get Kylie Greer in here to talk about Artists for Kids Culture, here is Renee Geyer, who'll be performing at that event that she's running, and it's a track called Love Don't Live Here Anymore. That was the amazing Renee Geyer.
It sure was, Sally.
Yeah.
Oh, to be at the Station Hotel on a Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely,
one more time.
Absolutely, I know. Oh, to be 20 again. She's playing at the next event that we're going to talk about. And the next event we're talking about is Artists for Kids Culture, and it's a fundraiser. Now, Artists for Kids Culture is a volunteer-run charity that provides opportunities for children living in disadvantaged circumstances. And the funds that they raise for the very many grants awarded each year are raised by auctioning work generously donated by professional artists. And that money enables children that might otherwise miss out to participate in the arts, sport, and the pursuit of other personal goals. It was founded in 1992 by artists David Larwell, Joe Darvill and Bernie Jones, who put on an art auction to raise some money to buy paint for the local kids living in the commission flats. And Artists for Kids Culture has raised and distributed over $1 million over the last 24 years. On Valentine's Day, February 14th, there's a family fun day and fundraiser at Brightspace that, as well as having the musical talents of Charlie Owen and the aforementioned Renee Geyer to entertain you, will also showcase the efforts of a few of the musically minded recipients of some of the grants the charity dispenses. To encourage you all to get down there for a very good cause, friend of the show Kylie Greer is here in the flesh to talk about it. Good morning, Kylie. Thanks for coming into Arts About.
Hi, Sally. Hi, John.
Thank you for having me, Kylie.
So, yeah, I just love that song by Renee. I thought it was a little bit sad, but it really gets you in the mood, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a really beautiful, beautiful song. She's always staggering to hear, and I don't listen to her a lot, but every time I do, I just think, what an incredible voice she has, incredible icon of Australian female musicians.
And Charlie plays with her occasionally, you were saying earlier.
Yeah, he does. He sits in sometimes when other people can't, and he really loves it as well. And they love, you know, that like-mindedness of fantastic musicians love working together. So it's great for Charlie when and great for Renee when they work together. And then they also, she always has fantastic musicians. The other guys that play in her band as well are amazing. But she, yeah, she's coming down. I begged her to come down on Sunday the 14th, which is Valentine's Day, to Bright Space, where we're going to, it's not the auction. The auction is, the regular auction is in October, but this is a small event where we just wanted to get together and celebrate the love that everyone has for Artists for Kids culture. And it has been going, for 22 years.
Yes,
now.
I think I got that wrong. I think you said 24, but
no,
it,
no, that's okay. Extended it. It's
the idea was there 24 years ago.
And so we thought, what? So we've created this event, We Love AKC, and I thought, what better person than to come down and sing a few love songs than Renee Geyer? So she said yes to me. So that'll be a great highlight. And we also have, we've never done this before, but some of the recipients I approached just from 2015, I sent out some emails to their parents or their schools or the organization that organizes for them to receive the AKC funds for whatever endeavor they're doing, if they would like to come in and do something on this We Heart AKC Day. And the response was amazing. So there's kids that we give money to do piano lessons, harp lessons, dance lessons. Last year, a boy wanted to go to the Northern Territory to go on this camp to work with some Indigenous kids. So he's actually done a PowerPoint presentation, and he'll come back and show us on the 14th, on Valentine's Day, what he did in Northern Territory. So we get to also see what it is that the funds are being used for. So it's a really, it'll be an interesting day. So we're really looking forward to seeing some of the kids and meeting some of them and some of their parents. A lot of the kids, or some of them, are supported by an organization called Mirabelle.
Yes.
So Mirabelle helps kids and their surviving parents if their parents have died from a drug overdose. So it's quite, full-on situation that some of these kids are in, and their grandparents are often looking after them. They can't afford the regular things that other kids have, which is, you know, a dance class, a music class, and they're often really talented, and it's often a really great way to, I suppose, heal because they've been through a lot of trauma.
You had much music in the gallery before?
Yeah, we have. We did in the early days.
I reckon it sound pretty good in there.
It does sound really good in there. It's it's got a floating wooden floor, and it's a sawtooth building, the design, and so the music does really well in there, actually.
Yeah, when it's not all right angles, you get beautiful, much better sound, don't you?
Yeah.
And nice thick walls. Now, 23 years, very long time and worthy event. How have they managed to get you two civically minded, the power couple, Charlie and Kylie, to participate in this?
Okay, so about 5 years ago, Bright Space was asked to be the venue for the regular auction and exhibition that they have. And, you know, just over the years, you become more involved. So basically that's
you can't keep your hands off things, can you?
Well, it's such a, you know, I loved David Lowell and Joe Darvill and Bernie. They're all great people who started the charity, and it started with really good ideas. Let's just make some money and give it to kids who can't afford this paint to paint a wall. Like it's the bones of it as a charity is really fantastic. And, you know, I cry when, you know, at our monthly meetings, when I read out the applications, we get teary, you know? So if you can help some kids do a dance class once a week, or, you know, there's many other things we help with Marshall. There's a group in Stonington Council area, the Commission Flats, that we do martial arts a year. So that's really, really good stuff. And otherwise these kids couldn't afford it. So that's how you get involved, because you just can't not do something.
I'm interested in how do kids apply for it? How are the grants disseminated?
Okay, so it's usually word of mouth that someone will, like either a teacher or originally the playground. So there's in Melbourne, there's the different adventure playgrounds around, like Skinner's, the St Kilda Adventure Playground. The Stonington Council has one. There's another one called Cubbies over in Footscray. So a lot of these playgrounds know the Artists for Kids Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might apply, or they might direct a parent to apply, and it really is just knowing that mm-hmm. there is an organization out there that people can apply to, and it's a really quick process. Like, it's very low bureaucratical process.
Knowing quite a few of you involved,
there was an original connection, I think, between the old playground in Fitzroy and what David and his mates first set up. The paint that they got essentially was to paint some of the equipment and the walls and stuff in the playground over there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's there anymore. Is it the Fitzroy one?
I don't know whether it's there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this opposite their Raw Studios?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Smith Street? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I thought it might have been.
So, that was the nebulous for the whole... The whole thing. And Fiona Lowell, sadly David passed away a few years ago, and I convinced Fiona to come on and be a director. So she's
That's
really
David's wife.
David's wife, yeah, is getting involved. She's really involved in it, and we've got some really good plans for the future for Artists for Kids as well. Apart from just the auction and doing what we're doing, we want to do some other things. But
the other end of the auction, of course, is that. You raise a very good, high level of quality in what's on offer at the auction. It's a very popular place for people who want to buy art to go.
It is. Yeah, collectors are always there. Mm. And John is in the show, so, you know, that raises the standard.
Well, I haven't put anything in yet.
No, but...
he will be, though.
You did last year, and your painting actually was... It was a great painting, and also it was bidded. Were you there, John?
Yeah.
It was well liked in the bidding arena.
Oh, that's very good to hear.
I think it got about 6,000 or something in the end, and
fantastic.
We had an estimate of 4,500 on it, so it was really great.
Oh, no, we're very lucky to have you in here, John. We know that.
I know.
So, that's it'll be a great day. So this is the beginning of the year, and we always have something at Brightspace on, it's also St Kilda Festival Day.
Yep.
That day. So we like to do something at Brightspace that's a little bit off Broadway, you know, a little bit.
Yep.
A lot of people like to get away from St Kilda Festival and come to us just for a little bit of a reprieve and have a beer out the front and a sausage. And see some, you know, and this year we've given the space to Artists for Kids Culture to do their thing.
Well, that's great. Now, Brightspace is, it's 8 Martin Street in St Kilda, isn't it?
Yes.
And the event runs between 2 and 5 o'clock. We Heart AKC has a Facebook page, doesn't it? And there's also a website, which is akc.org.au. And I'm sure if you want to find out a little bit more information about the event and about the auction, which will be later on in the year, in October, I think you said, didn't you?
Yes.
Then you can go to those websites. It's very, it's a very worthy cause. It's really fantastic. We're right behind it. I've got a link. It's on our Facebook page to it.
Thank you. And the other thing is, if people do, we take applications all year round. So, you know, if there is a kid out there that you know may need these funds, then contact us.
Yeah.
You know, we've been well in, you know, I'm not saying we have lots of money, but we are in a really good financial situation, and we do like to give the funds out. So please,
contact them. Yeah. You heard it first from here. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Carly Greer, for talking to us today on Arts About. We're going out now with a track from the absolutely wonderful Abdullah Ibrahim, who used to be known as Dollar Brand. He's a South African pianist and composer from Cape Town, and his divine mix of jazz, gospel and African sounds has been enthralling audiences around the world for more than 60 years. He's one of my favourites. Here's a classic from him titled Soweto.
And now it's time for John On.
I'm quite excited, John.
Are you?
Mm.
Well, let's hope I can deliver.
Yeah, let's hope so. A sleeper, huh?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Arthur Boyd, who, a very, very well-known Australian painter, from a very well-known family of artists out of Murrumbina there, and before that, from all over the place.
Mm.
And Arthur, when he was a young man, his uncle Martin, who was a novelist and had been living in England for some time, returned to Melbourne, and it was a house that had that he'd inherited called the Grange, which is out in Berwick, and a Victorian country sort of house with some land around it. And he decided that he wanted to come back out here and live his life as an author in the Australian landscape and near the members of his family that he'd left here when he went to England. And he ripped all the verandas off the house and gave it a kind of a Georgian feel. Put in the rose garden, all that sort of stuff. Invited Arthur up there to do some decorative work in there. And Arthur produced in the front and big room in the house, produced a fresco. And at the time he was interested in sort of quasi-religious themes, you know. I think Arthur Boyd, like me, was somewhat of a ecclesiastic voluptuist, you know.
Wow, now that is an expression I've got to write down. Ecclesiastical voluptuousness.
Yeah.
Voluptuist.
Yeah, which means that you don't believe in... I don't believe in God, but I love all the trappings of the church, you know.
Oh.
So I like all the music, all the furniture, all the costumes and the stories, you know. And Arthur Boyd particularly liked the stories. And he got them a bit mixed up, you know. But they felt like religious themes, the paintings, and weren't necessarily, you know, they weren't all that well connected to Bible stories.
Yeah.
But the fresco he made up at
the
Grange.
But they had the vibe.
They had the vibe, yeah. Exactly. He made a large fresco which filled a room, the large room up at the Grange in Berwick, all over the walls, on wet plaster, did it all very authentically and properly, in tempera. And Martin was delighted. Martin Boyd was delighted with the work. Arthur was very happy to have done it, and everyone who saw it just thought it was exquisite. But the world moved on, and Martin decided he didn't want to live in Australia at all. Sold the Grange, went back to London. The Grange was bought by a family of people who wanted to quarry the land, and they dug a quarry there, and they piled up the tailings out of the quarry around the house until it got to the point where it was kind of sitting in its own steep little gully surrounded by rubbishy rubble sort of stuff and fell into decay. And some people got very concerned about the frescoes, the Boyd frescoes in the house, because meanwhile Arthur had gone off to London himself and become world famous and very sought after as an artist. And once the swing...
Whereupon Gary Willis lived with him.
Did he?
You know that?
No,
yes.
I didn't
he
know
was,
that.
Yes.
Well,
Dr. Gary Willis, friend of the show.
Must have been a bit later on because this was in the 60s. I mean, how old Gary?
Gary, yes. It was probably in the 70s, would be my guess. Yep.
But in the when Arthur's swing tag started getting more serious because of the work he was doing in London, people started remembering the fresco in the Grange. And someone went up there and had a look around in the house. The house was rotting. The fresco was mostly standing up. It was kind of in not too bad condition.
Mm.
So they went out to find some money to recover it from the house and somehow save it. And no one really wanted to come up with the money because it didn't seem like it was going to return any. Or I don't know what their reasons were. They just didn't...
How much would you get for a, you know, decaying fresco? Where are you going to put it?
And they didn't quite know how to remove it from the walls and get it going on, get it moving on. But then, with the trumpets blasting as usual and the great sort of noise made, the hero of the art world stepped in, Joe Brown.
Yes.
Came up with the money. Had the people with the expertise go into the building and remove the walls, the plaster from the walls, and pack it all up.
Yeah.
And it went off to James Mollison, who was at the time building the Canberra Gallery.
Yes.
And Mollison said, oh, yes, well, we'll fix all this and get it up on display and people can enjoy it. And it made it no further than the storeroom. Where it resides today.
Really?
Wrapped up in tissue paper in acid-free cardboard boxes.
In Canberra?
In Canberra at the Australian National Gallery.
Mm.
Is the front room of the Grange that belonged to Martin Boyd with Arthur Boyd's fresco painted all over it.
Wow. That is an incredible story.
I'd love to see that out and about again.
I wonder if you can contact them and actually get to see it.
I think you could, if you had a good reason, you could go in and have a look at it in bits. You know, have a look at... There was one piece missing, apparently, which was where he signed it. There was a small bird with Arthur Boyd written next to it. Someone had sort of gotten it
chipped
off the
that
wall
off.
with an ice pick or something.
Oh, you know? Dear, oh, dear. That is an incredible story. How did you come across that story?
I read a lot, Sally.
That is brilliant. I'm hugely impressed. Now, while we get we get our next guest...
Where are we going?
We're going to go and listen to the Captain Matchbox Whoopee Band and Hernando's Hideaway while we get Jason Coleman on the line.
I won't say it.
Summer seaside theatrical entertainment is nothing new in the British Isles, but for some reason or another, we have been slow to take up the challenge in Australia. Our next guest has fixed all that. Razzle Dazzle and the Humanimals have entertained the crowds on the Mornington Peninsula from its spectacular and unmissable cathedral on the foreshore in Rye over summer. Just like John was a few weeks ago, our next guest is probably on life support right now after starring in and producing an incredible number of shows over the last month in that incredible place. Jason Coleman, star of Stage, Screen and The Little Box, joins us this morning on the tail end of a tour de force. Razzle Dazzle and the Humanimals have been loved by thousands of locals and visitors this season. Thank you for joining us today, Jason Coleman.
Good morning.
Are you, as I suggested, speaking to us from a hospital bed?
I had a little giggle when I heard you say that just now, you know. At 46 years old doing two can-cans a day, I'll have to tell you it was interesting summer, but I really were the lucky ones. I love what I do and I feel so blessed to still be doing it. And the crowd responses to our awesome little show have made it easy. You know, that's what gets you through is that, you know, you get out there and you give all of yourself to the people because they're really responding in a positive way. So as hard as it is physically, I truly love it. I feel like I'm very blessed.
That it is incredible. So you've done two shows a day and half the cast have done three, haven't they?
Well, yes, we have a kids show that that we were doing on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And to be honest with you, I never told anybody, but I appear in the kids show as well inside one of those costumes. I actually play that role myself because I believe in leading by example.
Yep.
And so, yes, for those people that did see the show, there's a dancing dog at the start of the show and inside that costume.
You were the dancing dog as well. You are incredible. How many shows is that then over the season, do you think? Have you kept count or have you tried not to think about it?
No. all up, I think, with both shows together, I think we've done over 70 shows, I think.
That's just remarkable. And I know that your efforts have been loved and appreciated by a lot of people over the season. But the schedule was grueling. But they're also incredibly physical shows. How did you all fare physically?
Do you know, they sound like cliches, but they're really not. You know, my brother, when I was very young, he said to me, you know, you just make a living out of showing off. And I said, oh, you know, it's not that at all. You don't understand. A selfish performer is a person who gets up there and shows off for the adulation. A good performer, a great performer is a person who's getting up there and you're not taking, you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is you're just giving all of yourself to people. And I've never marked a step in my life. I've never marked a routine in my life. I've never done anything halfway. And I think in your life, it's so much easier to just get out there and go for it. And then if you add to the fact that we genuinely love what we're doing, the 12 people in the cast are world-class. We are world leaders at what we do. Then it's sort of, it makes it, I don't know, just all that you take a big breath in the wings and then you step out there and you just go for it. And it's physically hard, but it is a great show and the people are responding to it. I feel like I'm talking in circles a little bit, but it's really my truth that mm-hmm. You get out there and you give yourself to the people and then they respond. That is the art form. So I feel blessed.
Well, it's the first time we've had something like that down here. You know, in recent years, that for sure. How have they responded and who's come?
Do you know, well, basically everybody's come along. We've had it in the audiences from 12 years old up right through to people on frames and in chairs, and everybody has responded well. I put on my shows, Sally, for, I say this, I put on the shows for the husbands, boyfriends, and fathers who've had their asses dragged into the theatre thinking, oh, here we go, you know, off to do this thing that my wife wants to do. And when they have a great time, then I feel like my mission is accomplished. Because I want people to not watch my shows but feel the shows. And what I do is we take everybody on this little journey where you take them over here for 2 minutes and then bang, I put in reverse and I take them back there for 2 minutes and I take them over here for 2 minutes. And so the audience really never knows where they're going. The show itself and the style of the show is almost undefinable because we just come out and we do everything and we do everything well. The cabaret performers over the last few years in this country has been the domain of C-grade and D-grade performers because we, the A-grade performers, have held the major work. As you mentioned at the start there, the top sort of 5% of performers in this country. We get all the film work, all the TV work, all the everything. And so the lesser performers have taken over cabaret. And what I've done here, Stella, you know, I believe the reason why the people have been affected about it is I am taking the best performers in Australia and arguably not the world and bringing them back into this very close environment where you don't just sit and watch the show, but you're almost in it, you know. And they're the reasons, I think, why the crowd has truly responded. World-class performance, proximity to the stage and the way I take everybody on a journey in my shows.
Now, they are an incredible group of people and it is just always remarkable to see in this genre of theatre people who can do seemingly everything. They can sing, they can dance, they can, you know, do aerobatics. They're, you know, it's quite spectacular. Tell us about some of them because there really are some stars amongst them.
Oh, wow. I mean, gosh. You know, starting, of course, with Wayne Scott Kermon, the consummate MC, would be right up there in the top MCs in the world in this sense. He's a blue blood, he's a fourth generation performer, and with a real vaudeville essence to him. And that gave me my real base, my real cabaret base, because Wayne's so vaudevillian. And then the other extreme of that was my leading, the other leading guy that I had in the show who plays a lot of female parody in the show called Gareth Jacobson. He's an awesomely talented guy. He came to my production house and agency a couple of years ago, and he's done very, very well since he came into my realm. He's a truly gifted singer, and I convinced him to put on some heels and some lashes and to extend himself as a performer, and he's had a lot of fun coming out playing Beyonce and Tina Turner and a whole bunch of other magnificent things, and he is truly world-class.
Absolutely.
With his vocal ability and putting into my costumes and the aesthetic that we build at the Ministry of Entertainment, and he was truly spectacular. My circus performers are the best in the world, both Australians, but both perform with Cirque du Soleil in America, the finest performance company in the world. They came straight off contracts with Cirque and came back to perform for me, so I was very, very lucky to get both of them, that's Rachel and Danny. They're extraordinary. They do a part of her in the second act, which you actually, from my dressing room in one of the containers, I hear the audible gasps of the audience every night. And then the singers and dancers, probably 90% of them come from my studio and through the realm. And the full circle nature of my life really is so rewarding because I've known many of these dancers and singers since they were little kids. There was a beautiful girl
Yes.
Well, her mother is a woman called Jackie Howard, and Jackie Howard was actually one of the finest dancers this country has ever seen and was my partner for probably a decade. Anyway, I danced with Bryden's mother. I did the Logies with Bryden's mother while Bryden was in the womb. Jackie was 3 months pregnant. So I've known these kids since they were kids, and to have them on the stage now as world-class adults performing with me is very, very rewarding as well. So, look, I feel like a really lucky guy. We've had a great season. The show's great. The cast's awesome. We're fantastic friends. We've had a great time, and the audience has responded to it. So
amazing. Well, I tell you what, the theatre is a triumph. The space inside is just brilliant. It's got high ceilings and rigging points everywhere, balconies, and you know, it's really a brilliant, brilliant space. I assume you were really happy with it, working in there as a performer.
Oh, you know, it's unique, and I always started pulling it down today, and I was there yesterday joking that I'm going to chain myself to it like a greenie because it's not coming down, it's not coming down. It's so amazing. It's beyond what I imagined. My team of artisans and urbanologists, that's what I call them, there was five of us. We got off the plane on the 6th of September with nothing but an idea. There was no engineering, no approvals, no council planning, nothing, and no permits. And we pulled off a world first that's never been done before. And I believe we are going to take this out and around the world now. And I'm very proud, as I come to the Mornington Peninsula, I'm very proud to have been able to bring this project to the Mornington Peninsula first. And as people see these theatres and the like going up around the world for the next 10, 20 years, they can know that they saw the first one, they were a part of it, and it was developed by a Mornington Peninsula first.
Fantastic. Now, the question, of course, on everybody's lips is, are you coming back next year?
Wild horses could not drag me away.
It's very great to hear. Oh, it's fantastic. We're all grateful to you for all the hard work that you and your team have put yourselves through this year to bring us a bit of razzle-dazzle to the peninsula. It's a very welcome change to see a bit of theatre down here. And thank you so much for talking to us today on what really ought to be your day of rest. Thank you so much, Jason Coleman.
Well, Shirley, thank you for your time. And if you don't mind, I'd like to say thank you to all the people that came along. Thank you for supporting world-class Australian entertainment. We're a sporting nation by nature, and I really appreciate all the people who are coming to support the art. So thank you very much for your time too.
Great. Thank you, Jason Coleman. Well, as you can tell, it's time now for the news.
There's the typewriter.
Yes, indeed. We've got lots of new things to talk about this week. Coming up in a couple of weeks is the Merrick's General Store's next show. Annie Errors and Kate Carmichael are opening on February the 20th.
Yeah, that's going to happen, and it'll no doubt be an exciting event.
Yes, I think it will be.
Yeah. Connie was saying before, you know, heart artists for kids.
I know. Do people say heart? I thought they said love artists. Anyway.
It's no easier to say heart than it is to say love.
No.
And love is what we mean.
Yeah, so why do they say heart?
I don't know. I'm not going to complain or make things difficult for anyone or carry on about it.
No, let's not do that. Okay. It's on February the 14th at Brightspace.
It is, and I'm going.
Yeah, me too. The Lawn Sculpture Biennale is on for 3 weeks in March. It's on the lawn foreshore and is a picturesque pedestal for dozens of sculptures created by some of Australia's top established and emerging sculptors. Stay tuned for some more info on that. We're going to try and get the curator in to talk to us about that perhaps next week.
Nice place to, you know, stand, look at art.
Yeah.
Watch the flames in the distance.
Have a swim if it's hot. Dartmofo dates have been announced.
Yep.
13th to the 21st of June.
You're a Dartmofo fan, aren't you?
I am a Dartmofo. I've got my hotel booked. And I'm just desperately
waiting.
You've
been lurking around down there with my brother?
Yes, indeed. I plan to do the same thing this year.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
An afternoon at the MPRG. Artist talks are at the MPRG. And on the 28th of Feb, three artists will be discussing their work in a series of talks. Terry Mattisoni, Polly Paparat. Why do they have these?
Papa Petru.
Yeah, and John Anderson, the great John Anderson.
The great John Anderson, who we must get in here at some point soon.
Says here, there will be a bar.
Yes, you'd be crazy not to go there. It's a beautiful afternoon. Artists talking about their work. Go to the MPRG on the 28th.
Yep, I think I will.
Yep.
2016 is the fifth year of the Orchestra of Victoria on the move. There's a big O and a big V.
Yep.
music education program for Mornington Peninsula youth, teachers, yeah. conductors and community music groups, Wednesday the 17th. Local students and teachers perform with the orchestra in a free concert.
Yeah, that's right. It's free.
Peninsula Community Theatre.
Yep.
PCT, Wilson's Road, Mornington.
Lee Coit is a young Sydney-based artist who's got an exhibition.
Leo Coit.
Oh, what did I say, Lee? Yeah. Leo. Yeah, Leo Coit.
You're not very good with pronunciation of names, are you?
No, it's because I probably need better glasses. Leo Coit's a Sydney-based artist who's got an exhibition opened at Nicholas Thompson Gallery in Langridge Street in Collingwood. It's called Under the Arches, and it's on until February the 28th. I wonder if that's referencing.
Impossibly
Gilbert
not.
Gilbert and George, probably not, no.
No, impossible for it not to be.
Oh, do you think?
Gilbert and George own Underneath the Arches.
They do.
More than the original song writers and performers, you know.
Yes, yes. Oh, well, we'll get along and see that perhaps and determine whether that's true. Land of the Golden Fleece is a collection of Arthur Streeton's paintings, and it's on at the Geelong Gallery, opening Feb 17th and going on until June the 13th. They're landscape paintings from the Western District, and I think there's over 30 of them.
Australia Felix.
Yes.
Meow Meow is Meow Meow's on at the with the Little Mermaid at the Malthouse until February the 14th. They've got a website, the Malthouse.
They
do.
Have
a look there.
Go there, get some tickets. I know that they're selling out pretty quickly. If you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About. But you can catch up with the show via podcast, which should appear on the station website sometime tomorrow. The show's also repeated on air and streaming Wednesdays at 12 after Secrets to Health with Angela Jacobson. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP website, or just look for us anyway.
Yeah.
Please join us again 11 a.m. next Sunday. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art, but we know what we like.